The lines on a map can change the lives of the people who live on either side of them. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, we examine how colonial-era border drawing by European politicians came with lasting consequences. And Nicholas Kristof tells us what it was like to report from overseas conflict zones, where your job as a foreign correspondent includes just managing to stay alive. But first, let's hear how the advances in rail lines in Spain are making it easier than ever to explore its far-flung cities and countryside. If you're planning to spend some extra time in Spain, consider taking advantage of one of Europe's largest high-speed rail networks and riding the rails through all four corners of the country. With Madrid or Barcelona as a starting point, you can easily access Spain's major cities, all within a few hours of each other. And if you have even more time, consider the scenic routes on a tourist train that winds through the mountains or breezes along the coast. We're taking Spain by train with guides Francisco Glaria and William Rosenden. Francisco and William, thanks for joining us right here in our studio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Give me a little background. Francisco, where do you live and how long have you been guiding? And tell us about your experience on the trains in Spain.
So I'm from Spain. I live in Pamplona, all the way in the north of Spain, the Basque Country. And I've been guiding for almost 20 years now, traveling trains from the cradle. I mean, Spain, as you were saying, the Spanish railroads are amazing. So it's probably the easiest way to move around Spain.
Nice. And William, what's your story?
Well, I live in the Northwest, close to you, Rick, just an hour down the street, and I've been guiding for 11 years and have been going back and forth to Spain for the last 40 years and took the Spanish trains 40 years ago when it took 21 hours.
That's my transition point right there. 40 years ago, I remember the trains in Spain. I remember, you probably do too, Francisco, when there was a different gauge in France and in Spain. And you had to, in the middle of the night, you're taking the train from Paris to Madrid and you had to get out and then walk over there and get a train with a wider carriage or a narrower
carriage.
Exactly. What was that? The different, why did Spain have a different gauge?
So for that, we need to go back to history. We need to go back to World War II, Spanish Civil War. It's ending, World War II starts. Franco wants to isolate Spain. So at that moment, the best way of transportation was by train. So he decided to move the size of our railroads. So that way, he would make everybody come out in the border so he could control everybody coming in and everybody coming out.
You know what I got to say about that? Damn those fascists.
Those fascists are no nice people.
Damn those fascists. You're going to make me get up in the middle. I didn't know that. And so many times I got up in the middle of the night so Franco could make me get out of the train
and
know who's on that train and then show your passport and get on a different train. So it's physically impossible for the train that came from France to continue into Spain.
That was the idea.
Different gauge.
That was the idea, to isolate the country.
I'm glad the good guys won.
I got to Spain only 9 years after Franco's death.
Yeah.
And, of course, then we had border control as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you not only had to get off at Irún, at the French-Spanish border, but then you had to go through the border patrol.
Hendaye. That's funny
because
when you said Irún, then I'm thinking there's two border towns.
Correct.
And you do all the, you think, great, I got through the border. No, you just got through the first border.
Yes.
Then you go through no man's land and then you got the second border.
And then you go through
Irún
in Spain. So you had all of that.
Francisco, tell me about the AVE because it's something Spain can really be proud of.
So in 1992, when we had the Olympic Games in Barcelona, we had this World's Fair in Seville. It was a big, big year to show the world that we made it. And one of the big improvements was the AVE, the high-speed train. It was a way to show off that, hey, we can do it as well. And this is when we made this first line from Madrid all the way to Seville. And in less than 3 hours, you go from the capital all the way to the south of Spain. It was like, wow.
I remember Seville suddenly is a conceivable day trip from Madrid.
For us, that was mind-blowing. It was like impossible. You cannot do it.
And for the tourist, the old backpacking tourist, I bet you remember that one.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And if you had a little extra money in the 80s or the 70s, you would take the Talgo.
The Talgo,
remember
that's
the
right.
Talgo?
Yeah.
So the Talgo is the ritzy train.
The ritzy version on the bullet track.
Instead of Madrid to Granada in 12 hours, all of a sudden you were to 6 hours.
Yeah. Isn't that something? And now the train is so good that I remember I used to fly from Madrid to Barcelona, but I think most people these days would simply take the train.
You take the train. You go from city center to city center in less than 3 hours. Easy, comfortable. It's much more reliable than the plane. It's perfect.
What's your experience?
And they have great jamon sandwiches. Bocadillos de jamón.
Oh, is that right?
So you can get...
There you go.
Jamón ibérico.
That's my ritual welcome to Spain.
Your nice glass of wine and your jamón ibérico, and you're good to go.
This is fantastic. This is Travel Freak Steves. We're talking with Francisco Glaria, and we're talking with William Rosenden, two wonderful guides from Spain, and we are, frankly, raving about the trains in Spain. Okay, so let's just talk about how people, when they're thinking about their itinerary, what is some good strategies with the train? Now, there are cases when you want to fly. Where's a case in Iberia where you would likely fly on a discount airline than take the train?
I would say often from Madrid to Santiago de Compostela.
That's what I was thinking. I've taken Wizz Air to Santiago de Compostela.
Yeah, or Ryanair would go back and forth. Yeah. Now you can take the AVE.
To Santiago.
To Santiago.
Yes, it is something that opened in 2023.
Oh,
it's
good.
A new line, and everybody's like raving about it. But it really has connected, finally, the northwest of Spain with the city center.
What about Lisbon?
Coming.
It's coming. That's what I learned.
Yeah, this is the big new announcement.
It's so obvious, Madrid, Barcelona, three hours or whatever, every hour of train. But Barcelona, Lisbon, it's almost like you guys don't like each other.
They have finally reached an agreement. So they say that they're going to now have a high-speed rail between the two capital cities.
That's the buzz in Portugal. I was just there.
Yes.
And it's not good for the Portuguese and the Spanish airlines, I suppose, but it's good for the travelers. Now you'll have that AVE convenience. One thing I like about it is the view. I was just marveling at the view from Madrid to Barcelona. I just could not stop looking out the window. It was dramatical.
It's one of those views you get to see this plans, all the plateau of Spain, and then you get closer to Barcelona, you get to see, it's a beautiful ride.
There's just something really magical about watching the Spanish countryside, like I have mentioned before, going by while you're having a glass of Rioja.
Yeah.
How can you beat that?
Spring for a nice glass of wine.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are enjoying the view. We're having a nice ham sandwich with a beautiful glass of red wine. Tell me about some particularly scenic train rides that you would want to look out the window. And maybe not even AVE trains. Are there slower trains, like through the mountains or along the coast?
I have to laugh. The train from Madrid to Pamplona, which is Francisco's home, is a slow, bumpy train.
Is that right?
Where you almost
Thank you so much for publicity in my city.
You almost need a chiropractic adjustment when you're done with that train ride.
I understand that comes with the train ride.
It truly does feel like you're going back in time.
Really?
And they haven't quite, as far as Pamplona is an incredible city. They still have not improved the railroad.
Now, why would that be? Does it have something to do with what's your state called?
Navarra. Oh, God. Here we go. Yes, unfortunately, it has to do with politics.
I'm sure it does.
And the Basque separatism. And are we Spanish? Are we no Spanish? Do we deserve something from Spain? So that's the big problem. Are we Spanish? Are we not Spanish? We're Basque. We're part of Spain. I'm very proud to be Spanish. But not the politicians.
So you're Spanish, but not Spanish enough to have an AVE.
There we go.
And the Catalonians are.
And the the Catalonians are the two big cities, Madrid and Barcelona. So
they have to do that.
They have to.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking trains in Spain with Francisco Glaria and William Rosenden. So if you look at just the times, I'm just going to rip off some times here. From Madrid, that's the hub. Most of us will fly into Madrid. In under 3 hours, you can be in Sevilla. In 1 hour, you can be to Toledo. In 3 hours, you can be in Barcelona without flying. You can be in Granada in 3.5 hours. You can be in Segovia in about an hour. I love the thought of just hopping on a train. What are some of the tips that we can be more comfortable taking full advantage of this train system?
It's actually gotten a little bit more complicated because now we have low-cost lines that have come into the system, right? So we have an Italian line that has come into the system. We have a French line that has come into the system. And now we continue to have the AVE. So there's competition.
And are these other trains slower and cheaper?
No, they are the same.
The same.
Some of them, the interiors are different. Yeah. Some of them are a little bit more luxurious.
It's competition.
It's competition. And a lot of these lines leave at the same time. So you could be in Madrid wanting to go to Barcelona, and you have a ticket on what's called Ouigo.
Yeah.
It's the French line. And do not ask somebody from AVE for advice.
This is the frustration in England and in many places around Europe is it used to be the national train line, and now you've got all these competing little companies. And as you said, they have no incentive in helping you find your correct train.
Correct. And to buy the tickets, for me, I go to Trainline. It's a little bit easier. I find that the Renfe ticket website is a little bit more cumbersome. One of the things that I think is happening now is that with so many folks going to Europe now, they're getting sold out quickly.
Yeah, book in advance. And it's cheaper to book in advance because there's got a lot of perfect price discrimination going on with trains all over Europe. Let's finish off just with a kind of a moment, just a Spanish moment that has something to do with the trains. What's a moment, William, that you've had that you just thought, I wish everybody could experience this?
I have to say one of the most special moments is having my tour members on the train, feeling accomplished to get 28 tour members who are so anxious to get to Madrid, the next part of the tour, and I get everybody on the train and we're celebrating and people are taking out their snacks and their food and they're having a picnic on the train and everybody's calm and it's a beautiful moment.
Calm on the train. I love
it. It really is a lovely
And as a tour
time.
Guide to have those people having a good, the smiles
that.
Will show what how good of a job you're doing. And Francisco, what's a moment that you'd like to share with travelers?
To me, I think it's a little bit more romantic. There's a beautiful, beautiful all-style train that goes all the way in the coast of the northern part of Spain. And if you get there, try to get overnight and sleep overnight on a train, which is one of the most delightful things you can do. The sound, the movement of the track. It's a beautiful, beautiful train going along the coast of Spain.
Along the coast, the northern coast
the
of
northern
Spain.
Coast.
Wow. And it's a long enough ride to be overnight?
It's overnight. It's beautiful. It's not cheap.
No.
Because it's a little bit upper grade. But
I've never seen anybody close their eyes and smile in a dreamy way when they're talking about how delightful it is to sleep on a train.
It is. I mean, if you're in a couch, it's like...
I was just going to ask you, give me the soundtrack.
It's like... You don't know. It's like
you're
being rocked.
That's it. You did it.
And you're rocked. It's like, come on, you're in a cradle. Somebody's rocking you. It's perfect.
Well, and Rick, and it's not like the 70s and 80s when the conductor would come in the middle of the night and say, give me your ticket.
You'd be trying to sleep and you'd flip on the lights.
Those days are gone.
And you go, passport. Thank goodness we don't have that anymore. Hey, William and Francisco, thank you so much and happy travels by train in Spain.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Journalists with a keen eye on the world join us next on Travel with Rick Steves. First, Nick Kristoff from the New York Times shares what it was like for him to be an overseas correspondent, reporting from war zones and dangerous assignments. And British writer John Ellidge reminds us that the national borders we've inherited today often have hidden stories to reveal about conquests, alliances, follies, and broken treaties that leave their mark on the world for years to come. Yeah.